what we like to call you, Jesus.
Tune in every Tuesday at first, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. Deeper, deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Want to talk about God is still in control, part two. Even in these times of unrest, it's good to know that God is still in control. No matter what our situations are, our circumstances are, our problems are, our challenges are, it's good to know from Scripture that God is in control, but it's also good to know experientially that God is in control. What makes this such a wonderful and personal psalm to the many of the believers is that though this is David speaking, many of us can identify with what David has gone through in our own lives or something close to it. And one of the things that I think is very helpful to us is to understand how David has presented this word before us today. Again, it's an old word, but I promise you, if you listen to the Holy Ghost, there will be revelation that'll meet you in the realities of your own experience today. When you begin to look again at the macro view, which is the big picture, you'll see we're talking about reassurance. Reassurance, but the micro view, the smaller, more intimate view, is dealing with confidence, covenant and comfort. And let's look at the confidence of David in verse 4. Because when you check out his confidence, one of the things that I think will be helpful for you to understand why David shouts yay, which is the primitive etymological root word, we get the word Y-E-A-H from, which is a word of excitement. It is an intense word of joy, because here David is going into the valley of the shadow of death. Now, again, he is reassured that everything is going to be all right before he ever goes in there. Not on his way out is he shouting, "Yay, I made it." But he's shouting, "Yay, I will make it." Because his confidence is in God. Now notice this, his confidence in God in verse 4 is because of what he's experienced in verses 3, 2, and 1. The last part of verse 3 says, "He leadeth me in the paths," P-A-T-H-S, "of righteousness." Now keep in mind that God is leading David to the valley. Just as the Holy Ghost led Jesus after his baptism into the wilderness. Now, he's not afraid because God is leading him in this direction. But I want to share some things with you as we again look at his confidence. His confidence is clearly because of God's past performances. God was in control of his rest, his resources, his recovery, and his readiness. Let me back up in verse 2 and prove this to you. Because of verse 2, he says, he maketh me to lie down. God was in control of his rest. He made him lie down. He was in control of him. He thought that was the best time, best place, best point. Make him lay down and rest, and God did it there. But God was also in control of his resources because he made him lie down in green pastures, and then he led him beside still water. So God was also in control of his resources. He was in control of his resources. But then when you get to verse 3, you'll see that God was in control of his recovery because he said, he restored my soul. But not only was God in control of his recovery, but you're going to see that God was in control of his readiness because, again, he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And sometimes the paths of righteousness will take you into the pits before it brings you to the palace. The paths of righteousness. You can't face what's before you until you've dealt with what's behind you. Is anybody listening to me today? And so you have to go through something to get to something. And success tomorrow depends on your preparation today. So when he shouts out, yea, though I walk, not run, he's confident because of what his relationship is with God. Now, I want you to see, because when you deal with verse 1, who starts off the relationship, and then when you do verse 2 and look at the rest, and then you look at verse 3, and you begin to see how God is in control of all of these things, it's important to understand that when the relationship is born, then God begins to deal with us and meet us right where he is or we are. He starts off with David, and David declares, I shall not want. But again, as I've said before, that word want isn't in like to the Western mindset. Here, the word want meant lessen. It meant fail. It meant decrease. It meant all of those things different from the word want that we say. Want in our mindset means desire, things we love to have, things that delight in. And so he's saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not fail. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not decrease. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not be lessened. Now, when he continues with God walking with him, every step of the way, he's becoming more and more confident. God deals with the fleshly needs. He needs rest. God deals with all of his earthly needs in verses 2 and 3. But in verse 4, the focus changes from the physical to the spiritual. Because what you see then is shadows of death. Not literal death, but it is the image of death. But also, there is a spiritual connection that David has with God, that we should have with God, that not only brings us confidence, but we remember some things in the text that is so important, how God deals with us based upon our covenant. You see, verse 1 reveals the fact that they are in covenant relationship together. He said, the Lord is mine. That's personal. They are making clear, well, if God is my shepherd, then I am his sheep. We are in covenant relationship. There are just some things that a shepherd is responsible for the sheep. There are some things the expectation of the sheep is for the shepherd, and vice versa. So there are some things that David knows he can count on because of his covenant relationship. And see, my brothers and sisters, when you know the word of God and you understand the covenant relationship you have with God, a lot of the stuff you are letting mess with you won't mess with you when you know the covering you have over you. I said, when you understand who is on your side, who is covering you, who is keeping you, who is with you, then there are some things you won't worry yourself about. Notice again, because the covenant has to do with participating partnership. Participating partnership. There's a new level, listen, of communion, closeness, fellowship. Now, as he starts walking through the valley and he shouts, because here's what the picture looks like. The Lord who is walking before him in verse 2 and 3, he leadeth me, has now slowed down and repositioned himself. And now the Lord is not before him, and the Lord is not behind him. The Lord has let him catch up with him. So the Lord is with him. And don't you know you can have a more intimate conversation when someone is instead of in front of you or behind you, he is with me. Listen at this, because I want you to understand this, and that's an important part, and I really want to go down a little further to deal with that. But here's what, again, is so real about this. When we understand that that covenant brings communion when David needs it the most, ought to be inspiring and encouraging to the believer. When you need God the most, he may be leading you here and leading you there, but there are sometimes he wants you to come close to him. There are sometimes when things are getting rough, the old folk used to say, he rocks me in his arms, the cradle of his arms. That's real close when you're cradled in his arm. That there are some things we walk through, we wouldn't get through if he wouldn't commune with us, if he wouldn't come close to us, if he wouldn't change his position with us. And so that's one of the things. Don't let the enemy make you sad because you're going through some stuff. If the Lord is with you. Because that means no matter how good you have known him and how strong your relationship has been with him, it's going to become even stronger, closer, and better when you are starting to deal with some things you've never dealt with before. The shadow of death comes in because there are two things at place. There are at play. There is light and there is darkness. Light and darkness creates shadows. And so light God, darkness devil, and you in the middle. Now the devil would have gotten you had the light not been with you. And the reason you can see the shadow is because God's light is letting you know, if I wouldn't have been here, the devil would have overtaken you, would have overthrown you, would have defeated you. But because I'm here, all you see is his shadow going in the opposite direction. And so when you begin to recognize how important this communion is with God in the valley, he shouts, yay! Though I walk, I ain't running. Because he ain't running. And now that he's closer with me now than he's ever been with me before, there's going to be sweet fellowship with him. Because listen to this. There are some things in that kind of fellowship, in that kind of hour, in that kind of communion that he reveals like no other time. You really wouldn't be as strong as you are had the Lord not come to you while you were going through. See, you wouldn't have known how much you could really take had you not gone through what you went through, but God got closer to you. And so you learn how to talk and communicate closely with him on a whole new level. You learn how to communicate from your heart and not just your head. You learn how to really trust him with your inner fears and with your sorrows and with the things that really pain your heart. You learn how to open up to him and say to him the very things that you were afraid to even let come from your lips. But because you know God, and he has drawn you closer, and he is now with you. Amen. There's a sense of confidence now greater than anything else you have ever known. That's why you don't really know the Lord till you get close to the Lord. And you don't really get close to the Lord sometimes until you go through some things. You know, we talk about, Lord, I want you to bless me and so forth. But being blessed like that don't bring you close to the Lord. If anything, it almost draws you away from the Lord, because you become so caught up in the things he's blessed you with that you forget to have that kind of sweet communion with him. You're so busy enjoying your blessings that you forget to spend more time with the blessor. Because you got to enjoy those things that he has given you. Job never, ever became as close with the Lord until he went through the things he went through. And it is in going through the things he went through that made him the man that we admire today. Don't frown. Don't cry. Don't criticize. Don't complain about your valley, because it's in your valley God begins to reveal your victories. It's in your valleys God begins to show you how strong you are. It's in your valleys that God lets you see some things that you could not have seen at any other time. You couldn't have seen in the valley from the mountaintop some things God wanted to show you. He had to bring you down low and then come up close and let you know, I'm going to bring you through this, but I want to develop you. I want to mature you. I want to take you to another level before I show you all. I want our relationship to develop. I want us to become closer. I want to be with you and you with me what I desire us to be before the celebration begins. I want to be with you in your valley. And see, when God is with you in your valley, you can say like the songwriter say, I went to the valley. I didn't go to stay, but my soul got happy and I stayed. Oh, why? Because thou art with me. You try to rush through something you're uncomfortable with, but if you ain't got no issues with the valley because you've got the greater one walking with you, talking with you, communing with you, then it is well with you. Listen at this, and I'm going to close my feeble message here. The next thing is that he comforts me. He has confidence in the valley. He draws on his covenant with God in the valley. And he receives his comfort in the valley. Protection is provided. I said protection is provided. It's a part of the covenant agreement. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And no weapon that is formed against you shall. He didn't say there wouldn't be none formed against you. He didn't say there wouldn't be none trying to get you. He didn't say the enemy wouldn't show up to battle. He just said they ain't gonna win. So stop getting scared and afraid of your enemies all around you. David has been in a situation where his enemies were encamped all around him. But he didn't have no fear, because God is there in the midst of his issues and communes with him. Listen to this. When you're going through something and you're outnumbered, you need to stop looking outward and start looking inward. And you'll see they that be with you are more than they that be with them. And you'll start shouting and they're thinking you're losing your mind. They'll think you're about to break down. But you're shouting because you see God's about to turn this thing. Oh, I wish I had a helper in the house. You get excited because the enemies have encamped. The enemies have hidden. But what they forget is the light is on your side. The light is guiding you. The light is guarding you. The light has got you. And there is nothing they can do, because you don't even know that God is so powerful that the enemies and what they plotted to do. This is what I love about the Lord is he reveals it right before it happens. Listen, the enemy is in crouch down ready to attack you, but the light shows up on him. And instead of going right, you make a... You don't even go down the path he had planned to ambush you on. You don't know why you turned, but the Lord is with... Lord, y'all not hearing me. But he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Listen to this. Y'all getting me too excited. I got to hurry. I won't get all... Sit down. I got to make sure you get this part. Thank you. The rod was for punishment. It was for attack. It was used as a weapon. The rod. Listen at this. But the rod was against your enemy. The rod was never used for the sheep. And you will not need to fight in the battle. For the battle is the Lord. All David had when he went in the valley was the Lord. And he said, yay! He didn't have a rod or a staff in his hand, but he had the Lord. And the old saint said, if you got Jesus, that's enough. But he had a rod in the one hand and a staff in another. Now, a staff was a long stick with a crook at the end of it. And one of the things that I love about the fact that the staff was there to steady the sheep, listen at this, to save the sheep and to support the shepherd. Let me say that again. The staff was there to steady the sheep. Because with the long end of the staff, when the sheep started wandering, he would take the staff and just lightly tap them, make them get back in line. And so the sheep, after that little loving tap, they would fall back in line, because they knew the shepherd was keeping them from going off path. But then you're going to understand, not only is the staff to steady the sheep, but it's also to save the sheep. Because in spite of the little tap to keep them in the right path, they will still go their own way. And sometimes they'll fall in cracks and crevices. And with the crooked part of the staff, he take the sheep by the underarm of the first part of the leg and the breast, and he lift them up with the crook of the staff and save them from a certain death, because that was his part in saving them from themselves. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we do ourselves more damage than the enemy. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes we'll think some thoughts we ought not think. We'll do some things we ought not do, go some places we ought not go. We'll act some ways we ought not act. And sometimes the Lord has to save us from ourselves. And so sometimes he'd have to take the crooked part of the staff and reach down and catch that sheep who has fallen into a crack or crevice, and who otherwise would have been stuck and died in that place. But then the third thing was, the staff was also to support the shepherd, because they were on rugged terrain. And every now and then they would climb up the rough side of the mountain. and then go down into deep, steep valleys. And the shepherd had to make sure his footing was sure. Uh-huh. Yeah. So he would stand out with the staff. And as he was going down or coming up or going on hilly terrain, he'd take that staff and point it into the ground, making sure that it was strong enough. And then he'd just lean on the staff while he looked back and make sure all of his sheep have moved from one grazing place to another. I tell you, that staff kept the shepherd in a place where he could look after his sheep. And so all of this was in the shepherd's hand, and David was comforted by both the rod and the staff. And he says, they comfort me. The rod for my enemy. The staff for me. They comfort me. The rod for whatever, for whoever would try to destroy me. But the staff for me. The rod for the wolves, for the goats, for those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. But the staff for me. The rod for the wicked, for the evildoers, for the naysayers, for the haters, for the backbiters, for the backstabbers, but the staff for me. The rod, Lord, I wish I had a helper here. I thank God is for any and every situation that I cannot handle that threatens my peace of mind, my joy divine, my love of the Lord. But the staff is for me. They comfort me. Thank God there's another tag team on God's side. There's another tag team coming later that God's gonna put behind me. But this tag team is before me, and God is with me. And I want to get to verse 5, because that's when the celebration began. But lest I move on beyond my limits, I'm going to say amen right here.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
K-A-Y-T, Shreveport, Greenwood, 92.5.
Apostle James Brown next.
This man of God prophesied I got an increase in my finances for, I know it was a good $40,000.
Brown next.
Yes, on Thursday night I was riding home and I heard a broadcast on the radio, and he said that the Lord has anointed him to bless two people financially. I received a contract for $130,000.
When Apostle Brown next pray and prophesy, miracles happen.
Yes, anointed with that oil.
Anointed with that oil.
And the pain just went away.
The pain just went away.
Miracles happen.
You said the Lord is going